All right, happy Thursday evening, Melbourne. This is the Mayor Podcast with Paul.
Hello, Jesse. What's happening, man? We got
Happy Thursday.
It's happy Thursday, you know? Happy Thursday. Tomorrow is Friday. Man, I'm looking for Friday, I tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, Friday, the first Friday of November.
Okay.
You know, we just got through the Halloween season. Did you have a good Halloween, by the way?
I had a great Halloween.
Yeah, good, good.
I ate no candy.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah, no
candy. It was an anti-candy
Halloween. No candy. No, I stayed away. I hit the gym. John and I hit the gym, and we basically said no candy.
Good.
No, we don't need that.
No.
Save it for the kids. They need it.
Yeah. The sweetest I'll go is maybe a spoonful of honey nowadays. You know?
There you go. There you go.
So, yeah, it's been a minute since we've taken the Facebook, but here we are back once again. A lot of things have happened.
Yeah, a lot of things have happened. Plus, you got some upgrades on your system, which really...
Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely the upgrades.
Have a good time.
Yeah, we definitely, we're going to get back to it and kind of go over some of the updates we have going in the city of Melbourne. A lot of great things going on. We're starting to kind of wind down. We had budget season. We finally got all the budget season, all that passed. We got the lowest millage rate in the city of Melbourne, that 10-year low. So that's good whenever you can lower the millage rates. Because unfortunately, well, if you already own your home, you have the 3% cap on the save our home. But if we lower the millage, normally most people, if they've been in their home, they'll actually see a slight decrease in their taxes, which anytime you get a decrease in these kind of economical times is a good thing.
When everything's going up, man, if the city could help you, you know, just reduce one thing in your line items, you know?
Yeah, and everything that we're buying is more money. You're talking about fire trucks,
right?
You name it. I mean, even you know, when you know they're paying $15-16 an hour at McDonald's, you got to pay your public safety a lot more. I mean, you have to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. When you have, I mean, especially again with the everything going up, the cost of goods going up, you have to make sure that everybody has a living wage.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, so, you know, there are a lot of unique challenges. And then we'll see. We got a lot of good projects. A lot of projects kind of been on hold because of the economy and the financing and stuff. It's a challenge for a lot of people. A lot of people ask me some questions like, how's Margaritaville doing? I'll kind of explain a little bit of that tonight, what's going on.
I'll tell you what, the Melbourne PD headquarters.
Yeah, it looks good, doesn't it?
Oh, man, it's making shape. It's coming alive.
Yeah,
it's very exciting.
It's awesome. So, yeah, it'll be Shane Robbins will be at your 25th year with the city of Melbourne. Absolutely, I'm going to be there, Shane. You know better than that. You know, you make it 25 years, that's good. You know, I'm proud of you, man. I'll be there, Shane. But, a lot of good projects going on. We'll spin up some pictures. Oh, let me want to announce thing. I did a great video that'll be coming out tomorrow. We're doing a partnership with the Babbard Zoo, the city of Melbourne doing. You see all these oysters that they put on?
On O'Galley Causeway by the pallet.
Right. Well, pallets and pallets. But what they do is they take them out, and there's about 20 restaurants that donate them, and they actually put them together. But if you go around Ballard, all the houses there, they're putting them into waters. But we're working on the permit right now. As of next year, we'll have an oyster bed, the largest in Brevard County, about 17,000 square feet.
Wow.
And you figure one oyster can filter around 30 gallons of water per day.
Right.
So that's the Brevard Zoo, you know, they're an amazing group.
Yeah,
I can't say more.
I think we have some photos of that.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen these cages just filled with shells, or like, what is that? This is what that is. This is exactly what that looks like. And, again, certainly, you know, in partnership with Brevard Zoo. And so they go in bare, right, from being cooked, I guess, at a restaurant. And then new life will find these shells, and there you go.
And then they start filtering the water, so when they're on the bottom. Because years ago, we used to have a lot of those here, and they were...
Right.
And they were basically stripped out.
Indian River oysters at one time was on the menus, like Prince Edward Island mussels or Apalachicola. Yep. You know, it was known for the seafood here.
Yeah.
And then, of course, overfishing and whatever may have has happened. But now we have an opportunity to make it right.
Well, what we're doing, we're reversing the effects of what happened in the Indian River Lagoon. So, you know, you add, you know, I mean, tons and tons of oysters that are that's filtering the water. And that's just one aspect of what you're doing. You're adding baffle boxes. You're doing, you know, you're doing a lot of cleanups, demucking. But that's just, you know, you put them around these houses and you know, hey, it will end up cleaning the water.
Yeah, because I believe anyone who lives on the water and has a dock, they could apply to like pretty much donate their dock to have oysters suspended from there so they could participate in the program. Right.
And
right?
What does that bring? Fish.
100%. Yeah, other sea life.
Yeah, brings all the sea life back. So, yeah, we're doing that. I'm proud to say Melbourne, we're one of the leaders in that. And I think many of the projects, when this video comes out tomorrow, it's being edited right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of the projects the Brevard Zoo did was in Melbourne. And, you know, we're a great partner. And Keith Winston, his staff, look, I love the Brevard Zoo. I mean, they do more than being just – people hear Brevard Zoo, they do more than just they're a zoo. Their conservation, they are so – they work so hard in the community. Their volunteers are amazing. And when you'll see them on O'Galley Causeway, they're prepping all these oysters. Those are all volunteers, you know, the Space Coast Parrothead Club. They're all there, and they're working hard. So
go Parrotheads.
Yeah, go Parrotheads. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, that's our commitment to the lagoon. And with the city of Melbourne, we're working on some water quality. We're number one on water quality projects, hands down. When you see, like last week, I went to the Brevard delegation, their meeting, and I was kind of saying, hey, what we're looking for. But Melbourne's always, you know, water quality projects, lagoon. You know, some cities are saying we want to do this, we want to put a statue up. We ain't got time for statues, you know? You know, we don't got time for statues. We got time to clean. We got to get this lagoon done.
I'd love to see an underwater statue like down in the Keys, John Pennekamp, you know? we just have a...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we got to celebrate the lagoon, right?
Hey, so, we'll do one of Jesse Hall underwater this, like suspended. What do you think?
Whatever it looks like, let's do more. But, you know, it's an aquarium project that the Brevard Zoo has going on, you know. And so they're really spearheading all kinds of really cool stuff, plus all the events. You know, the Boo at the Zoo, Jazz Zoo's coming up. The zoo is really a great resource here, and it continues to win all kinds of awards.
Oh, yeah.
Like one of the nation's best zoos.
Yeah, I'm not even looking at the awards anymore. They already won them all, but they deserve them. I mean, look, they're a great, great place, and they're only getting better. I remember being a kid here. I remember when the Brevard Zoo was on New Haven.
Yeah,
they had an elephant out front. It was terrible. They did. They had it on a chain. It was terrible as a kid. No. Yes. And yeah, it was terrible.
Poor guy.
Terrible. I mean, that's old school.
Right.
But listen, one more kudos out to Brevard Zoo. Good job, and appreciate your partnership with our city and, you know, with their volunteers and their machines. Love them all. Thank you.
Yeah, 100%. And so hopefully we'll see more of these pallets of oysters.
Oh, yeah,
to go out. Hopefully, you know, off of 182 Causeway, Pineta Causeway, and from 17,000 square feet. Like, that's, I mean, for most people, I mean, if an average house is maybe 2,000 square feet, that's essentially like 9 houses worth of, like, you know, oysters just sitting
it's
there.
Oyster filtering. Bed, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So, no, huge things. But you mentioned because of the river and low-pack and development and helping, you know, reduce the runoff. I know Margaritaville started to continue because they had a brief pause.
Right.
Okay,
so kind of let me tell you what happened there. Now they're still building. I know we had some people, and I get a lot of messages. Hey, how come there's nobody out there working today? Look, I don't run Margaritaville. All I know is that's private development. But I will tell you, you know, the gentleman Harry, who's invested in whose project that is, you know, when that initially started, that was a $65 million project. It ballooned up to about $100 million. So imagine you having a project like this, and a lot of that's financing, and, you know, they get a part done. A lot of that infrastructure is done. The boardwalk's done underneath with the rocks, all that's done. You know, they go to pay the bill. The bill's $4.2 million, and they got $3.1 that the bank's giving them. So, you know, that's one of those things they've had to work on the refinancing. I expect right now, the beginning of the year, when the new year, because I think concrete is kind of stabilized too. I believe at the beginning of the year, you'll start seeing it going vertical. And that's when you'll see.
Exciting.
You know, a lot of people, like, they don't see much done. But whenever you look at a project, probably a large portion of that is underground, whether it's the utilities, you know, with I know, like, the drainage has to be on site because mm-hmm. instead of running in the lagoon.
Right.
So they got, you know, under where the, on the right-hand side where there will be the parking garage, all that is chambered underneath. So the water will go into that and chambered in rocks and all that stuff. Mm. You know, a lot of that work is done. So what people are looking at is, oh, there's nothing being done. There's a lot of that stuff being done.
Below the surface.
Right, below the surface. Right. And you know, that's pretty substantial, especially when you talk about a hotel. And
it's got to have good footers. Yep. You know, I mean, there's a lot that needs to happen, 100%. And doing it in a very respectful way to, you know, being sensitive to the lagoon.
Yeah, and so that's still being done. But, you know, anytime your project, you know, 30% more than when you started, you know, and it's a local guy. What people don't understand, they hear Margaritaville, oh, this is a big corporation. No, that's a local person that has signed an agreement with them, and, you know, he's on the hook for it. So, you know, he's you know.
Well, it's hard. You know, you want a $65,000 car, and you go to finance it, and all of a sudden it's going to cost you $100,000. Like, it's not in your budget. You got to figure things out. So, you know, $65 million is already a big pay. You know, that's a big it's a huge budget to work with.
Well, and what I will say is when they bought the property back in, I think, 2018, so they've been on this for quite a few years. There were so many easements that they had to clear with state.
I heard there were some liens too.
All that stuff. Yeah. They cleared. I mean, they had. I know they spent probably well over $1 million on clearing those alone.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's not just, hey, we're going to start building something. There was a lot of challenges. Matter of fact, I was told by one of our city attorneys, she didn't think they could clear them all. She said, it's just if they do, and they did. Mm-hmm. And she just, wow. And then she was like, so much attorney work, just clearing everything. And then you're talking about permitting, state, you know, St. John, federal, all that, all these permits.
Back, from DOT to, you know, anything that has to do with the river, because, you know, you want that boardwalk.
Yeah.
You want that many, you know, how many slips is it going to have? Like 200 slip marina?
280?
Like that's a ridiculous amount of, you know, so you're penetrating into the river. That's a whole other jurisdiction.
Yeah.
That's not the city of Melbourne. You're talking county, state. Yeah. It's a lot to get through, and I think the layers and the red tape and bureaucracy and, you know, just that's just what development does.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and it's tough. And but yeah, so once we do start to see some of that stuff from from, you know, come above the fence line, and you know, it's going to get real and it's going to be fun to watch.
Well, and plus, you know, anytime you go back to refinance and stuff, you know, you look, I got X amount done. Mm-hmm. You know, the economy is changing a little bit. Hopefully these interest rates will go down. Especially, I mean, you can ask any realtor, right, Jesse? They'll tell you, you know, these interest rates really impact your sales.
Oh, 100%. And you know, what would cost you, you know, because, I mean, it comes down to even a lender is going to look at, well, what could you afford per month, right?
Right.
What's your loan-to-value, you know, and what's your, of course, you know, what's your income? So we have to make sure that when you get financed that, of course, you could afford it. And debt to income ratio is a real big thing that they look at. So how much can you afford? And then you look, okay, at this rate. So essentially buyers have less buying power.
Yeah.
And you're not, you know, so to afford, like, say, for instance, a $2,500 a month mortgage, which is what, you know, for instance, some people could afford based on your income. Well, that only affords you, you know, not a $400,000 house anymore. It's only a $300 house. And then you look at the inventory, and there's really not much available at $300,000. So, you know, it's quite a conundrum for a lot of people, especially first-time homeowners, you know, especially when you're competing with other people coming out, you know, from out of state. It can get frustrating, and I totally get it. And there is such a thing called buyer fatigue, you know, syndrome, where it's just, you know, you're sick of making, you know, offers and losing it, or financing falls through because, you know, whether or not you have the right income, or maybe you just have too much liability, you're already paying for so much, you know, out of pocket, you know, for every month. It's tough. It's a hard thing to balance right now, and I totally get it.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. And that's not, there's multiple projects like that that's, You know, they're hopefully at the we'll see, I think, in January where we are in economy wise and see hopefully some of these ramp up because
hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. And we'll hopefully see interest rates. I've been looking into it, and they expect interest rates next year to go down.
Right.
And be in the beginning around 2025. I think I read somewhere that they expect to be around 4.5-5%, which would be kind of nice. You know, then everybody be on a refinance train.
Well, absolutely. And that's what we recommend. You know, if you find the right house and you really need to either, you know, upgrade, you know, maybe you're expecting another kid or whatever the case may be, you know, you really need to get from where you're at, or you're just sick of renting. Maybe maybe the landlord's, you know, trying to jack up your rent and now it's time to buy. Well, again, marry that house, date the rate, as they're saying.
Well, you know, if you keep seeing the price of rent, I mean, you know, wow, just crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, so. And sometimes it's unaffordable. So, you know, so again, if the option is to buy, just remember, you know, the rates will change. And if it takes, you know, 2, 3, 4 years of paying, you know, a little bit higher mortgage, and then you could finally get some equity in your home, because thankfully we haven't seen depreciation. We're still seeing, you know, the properties appreciate again, which is kind of tough because, you know, right now, that home is going to be as you know, cheap as it is, right? I mean, it's not going to get any cheaper. It's just going to continue to appreciate. So, again, now is still the time to buy, and it's still a great time to sell. You know, it's with as little inventory as there is. I mean, you could pretty much still get, you know, really good market value for your home. So, but again, you know, why make a parallel move? If it's got to be right.
Yeah. You know, Shane Robbins just asked, are there any plans for the city of Melbourne to work bike and pedestrian safety?
Oh.
Absolutely. You should know, if anybody, Jesse, about this one.
Yeah, I picked up her real quick.
But absolutely. If you see some of these projects coming out, now understand, well, let me back up. We're working with old infrastructure, unfortunately. But you see these changes. Like if you go down to downtown Ogallala, you see all the pedestrian safety, you see the crosswalks, all that being added. Those projects, unfortunately, when they go into by the time they go into engineering and funding, it may take 2 years. You see that happening, but yeah, that's something that you know, that's something that's being worked on. I mean, it you know, there's some places. Well, I remember John Rhodes. You know, we got now sidewalks all near Ogallala, John Rhodes, all that's got sidewalks that didn't before. But yeah, that it just unfortunately takes time, and we need that because you know, when I go to other cities, and I went to Miami Beach over the weekend, you know, me and a friend and I took him down there, and we noticed that, you know, there was a bike lane which was a different color, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, so some of these bigger metropolises will have like a green lane. Like they will make it, you know, a big indicator. It still doesn't help when, you know, again, delivery trucks will park in the bike lane, so you still have to go around and get into, you know, share a lane with vehicles. You know, there's no perfect scenario. What anybody could say is whether you're a pedestrian, cyclist, you know, driver of an automobile, just be courteous.
Yeah.
Be, you know, have your head on a swivel. Put the phone down, and that goes for pedestrians.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I could be riding my beach cruiser on a sidewalk, and it's like, you know, I'll come up behind a pedestrian. I'm like, you know, come in behind on your left, and they got the, you know, headphones on, or, yeah, you know, they're distracted. And then I'll spook them, and then they look at me like I'm a bad guy when I try to give them as much, you know. So even, like, bicycle, pedestrian, pedestrian, bicycle, vehicle, pedestrian, you know, I mean, no matter what combination, both parties, you know, you got to – you just got to be vigilant. You got to be able to, you know, have self-awareness and just always know what's going on around you, and just be courteous at the end of the day. Just be a kind person, you know, and just give somebody a little grace, you know, if they take, you know, a little longer to cross, you know, the path in front of you, you know, whatever it is. If they have to share, you know, the lane because, you know, there's no sidewalk or bike path, just be courteous.
Yeah,
that's all.
Exactly. It was neat yesterday. We got to do the Dassault Falcon. You want to pull those videos up? So this is a pretty cool project. This was originally out of Project Vista, you know, this was in coordination with our EDC, the governor's office, City of Melbourne, the Airport Authority Board. This is pretty neat because what it is, it's a company, a French company, that's coming in, and they're building, you'll see it already cleared there on Apollo, about $150 million campus. It's going to be bringing in 400 high paying, well, like $86,000 to $90,000 a year average salary for the plane maintenance. That's actually me, my daughter. Yay. That's me, me, my daughter, and the Fox 35 reporter, Esther. She's awesome. But my daughter, who's there 19, always messes with her because she's much taller. If you know her, she's great. She's a, I guess she just ran like a 10K marathon, which is crazy.
Yeah,
10K?
Yeah, 10K is 6.2 miles.
God, yeah. God, my knees.
Those are fun.
Yeah, and that was Senator, that's right there, Senator Mayfield. She was there. She's been a great champion of helping us at the airport and everything she does. I'll tell you right now, she's terming out, and we're going to really miss her. I mean, Senator Mayfield, she's amazing. She gets a lot of our water quality projects. We send stuff in, and you know, she's always asking, what can I do to help you and help Melbourne? And she's amazing. So
yeah, we're definitely going to miss her.
Yeah, so hopefully she stays in some kind of capacity, because she's really a champion of the people. She really is. So love her to death.
Yeah.
But this actually Falcon jet here, this is one of the ones they flew in, is 25 years old. So they're going to be, you know, doing all these here at Melbourne, repair, manufacture, et cetera, in 400 jobs. But they're pretty nice. They have their own niche, and the campus, I think they're going to start pouring concrete in the next few months, and right there, and that's on the inside of it. And if you look at it again, that plane's 25 years old, and it's impressive if you keep
well maintained.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well maintained.
Oh yeah. For 25 years old.
Yeah.
You know, that's
luxurious.
Yeah, it's really nice. So if you look and hey, jump in, go anywhere in the world.
Nice. So yeah, we're definitely excited about this. I mean, you know, just the jobs. I mean, listen. You know, this is what good leadership's all about. When you have a French international company choosing Melbourne of all places.
Yeah.
That's got to say something about our area and certainly the climate. You know, because there's plenty of places for them to choose, just like Embraer from Brazil. Why little Melbourne? Why not one of the, you know, the bigger, you know?
And a lot of that's the help too from the EDC and getting them, attracting them here. So that helps out a lot. So
yeah. Now, it looks like we're getting some pretty good comments. Yeah, keep those coming.
Mayor, what about working with the county and cleaning up the sidewalks? We're constantly trying to clean up our sidewalks, but I will tell you this, you know, we can only do so much with the county, their own entity. People choose to become a municipality because they get better services.
Right.
But, you know, I own commercial property right there on Aurora, and it's in the county, right in the county, and, you know, they're sometimes it's hard to get a pothole filled, you know. People think that I can make a phone call and they'll jump. No, they won't. No, they won't. I'll try to respond as best I can to people, but, you know, I can't speak for other elected officials. I ain't gonna lie, some of them I don't even like, but it's okay. Well, sometimes I don't like myself. You don't like me sometimes, Jesse.
I love you all the time. Like,
come on, Jesse. Don't lie. You're lying. You should be the mayor now. You're lying.
No. No, you're likable, but again, it's, you know, I'm sure the few people that actually work at the Brevard County Public Works, you know, they have a punch list, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean,
I worked there when I was for 3 years on 19 before I went to Coast Guard in 21, and we did, you know, there's always washouts, there's always, you know, potholes, and you know the city and the county's grown, and you know, they have a budget, and you know, so really what I do is I try to stay in my lane,
right,
and I try to fix the city stuff. You know, when you start getting in the weeds and you try to address issues outside of your area, then you're really not doing your job in your area. Think about that.
No, absolutely.
You know, anytime you're at work and you pick up your phone, you start, you know, going through social media, you're really not doing your job.
And you have a budget to abide by. Yeah. You know, you just can't hire 20 more people just to be on a road crew, and now you're in the road cleaning business.
You can find 20 people.
Well, no, yes. I mean, because that's, you know, I mean, let's be honest. You know, it's there's a workforce out there.
Yeah.
But you know, they want all the amenities, you know, they want the health care, they want, you know, and again, that's not maybe in the budget. And then the millage rate has to go up, you know. Yeah. So which one is it? You know, do you want to have a more affordable, you know, cost of living, or do you want every pothole to be rectified within 24 hours? I mean, because that's a big demand.
Well, one thing that we do notice, and we've done really good, and is, you know, we do have the Adopt a Road, and actually there's a lot of groups that do Adopt the Road. I was one at one last week, and they had probably 30 people out there with bags cleaning up the side of the road, and they get their name on a sign, their business on a sign, and so you know, they're partnerships. You got to have partnerships. You can't expect the government to fix all your problems.
Exactly.
It is, you know, some people think, hey, government, you need to fix this. You know, my neighbor won't turn the radio down. You know, we could deal with that in the police and stuff, but really the government really should stay out of your life as much as possible. So there's a fine, to me, a balancing act,
right,
of, you know, with your public safety, you know, with your quality of life, but also keeping government out of your life, you know. Mm. So that's and you got to a lot of times take it as a case-by-case basis. And, you know, people will call and say, hey, well, how come this employee did this? Melbourne has over 900 employees. You know, I can't speak for every employee and or their actions. Or, you know, we have managers. We do the best we can.
Exactly. There's only so much of an expectation. Same thing with, you know, I mean, shoot, the airport's one of the biggest employers in the county. And,
yeah,
you know, there's always going to be, you know, some people who maybe don't do their job as well as they possibly could. You know, maybe some troublemakers. I mean, but that goes with...
That's everywhere. That's doctors, you know, that's lawyers, that's everything.
Exactly. Nobody's immune to just having good quality employees.
Podcast people?
Yeah, no. Yeah, the podcasters are the worst.
Podcasters are the worst. Jesse said they're all horrible. Wow.
But, no, I mean, so yeah, getting back to...
Wait, is there a fee for Adopt a Road? Absolutely not. There is no fee for adopting a road.
Yeah. There's also, like, for instance, KBB,
Keep of Our Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. They will let you adopt a beach, which I did. It's not a horrible practice. Cellite Beach, where I reside, they also have a Adopt a Road. So look at your municipality. Look at whose road that is. It may be a county, mm-hmm, thing. It may be a local municipality thing. But certainly, I mean, or, you know, and again, you don't need recognition to just go out there and make your neighborhood look better by picking up some trash. You know, I mean, you know, just be vigilant. Go out and just make it happen. You know, you don't need permission.
Yeah, exactly. But it's nothing wrong. Get your name on a sign. Get your business on a sign.
No, it's great. And when you organize it, like, there's this one group that does the Pineda Causeway, and I think they're called the Pineda. I'm gonna butcher it. I apologize. And, you know, I really wish I give you a shout out. But they are out there in droves, and they got the vest on, they got the pickers, and then, you know, and I'll see them in the morning, and I'll come back later, you know, maybe a couple hours later after running an errand, and all the bags are just sitting there, you know, ready for, you know, pick up, and it's like, man, there was that much litter. But yeah, I mean, there are shorelines, you know, you just can't help, you know, litter blowing into the river. That's why, you know, you don't throw things out your window. You think it's going to be on the street.
And it gets windy out there.
But then it's going to be in the lagoon, you know, and so... You know, we all got to do our part. You know, so whether you get recognition, reach out to KUB, reach out to Adopt the Road. I know most of these roadways will have the sign and it has a contact info. So just holler.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely. If you like to, if you're interested in adopting a road, yeah, definitely get with us, and be glad to sit you in the right direction.
Yeah. The only fee, like, say, so when I did Adopt a Beach with KUB, there was a small fee. But again, it was for the materials. I got some shirts for volunteers. So when we did clean the beach,
I don't think there's a fee with ours.
We had our shirts, we got the grabbers, and we got some buckets. So they supply with some, you know, rubber gloves, and so it's really just a cost of you know, being able to do your job efficiently. But again, you're contributing. If it's important for you to have the signage, there's so many ways to participate in this area. So. Yeah, just get out there. Just get out there. Figure it out. And and thank you for helping us keep our roadways clean and doing the right thing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I even answer some of the tough questions. I don't shy away from any kind of questions. One of them is, would we get in trouble if we throw away clothes hanging on the fence or bridge from the homeless? Well, I don't know if it's abandoned. It's abandoned property. I'm going to talk like a former police officer. Mm-hmm. If it's abandoned, it could be considered garbage. I mean, that if you want to look at the legal term, if something's laying there and it looks like garbage, you throw it away. I mean, you're doing your civic duty. At the end of the day, how do you get in trouble for that?
Yeah, because, I mean, especially if it's hanging off the bridge, that could very easily just go right into the river and contribute to, you know, harming sea life. So I would say, yeah, take the liberty of doing that, unless it's clearly somebody's clothes and he's, you know, down underneath the bridge and he just wants to dry out his shirt that he's sleeping in, or I don't know.
Yeah, I at the end of the day, you know, I stop all the time, because one thing that really pisses me off is when, you know, you have people standing in the middle of a corner with a sign, and then they end up leaving all their litter there, their cups and their garbage. So I'll get out and I'll pick it up. Usually I'll say something to somebody and say, hey, you know, if you're going to leave your garbage, you know, go to another city. But, you know, I'm not going to beat around the bush. You know, this is my city, too. I've been here longer than a lot of people. And if you leave garbage on the side of the road while you're standing there, you know, asking for assistance, if you can't even pick up your own damn garbage, get the hell out of my city.
Yeah, I would say, as a general rule, if it's been there for more than a day, I would say take a liberty. Keep the area nice looking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But it sounds like the city's still going in a great direction. The airport's moving in a great direction.
Yeah.
The river, again, with the baffle boxes, with some of the achievements that's been going on. And we're still, again, seeing a lot of the septic to sewer transitioning, you know, step by step.
Yeah.
We're seeing
that's all funding, and that's all getting, like, matching funding from the state. And that's where our senator, you know, like Senator Mayfield and them come into play, because, you know, we do request money, and we have it there. I mean, you know, it's all about funding, too. We get that funding. We get some matching with the lagoon funding. But we put it all together and try to get these projects done. So if you were to look at our city map, years ago, you know, everything flowed and drained into the lagoon. And, you know, we're doing a baffle box right now. The next one that we just got funded, and it's in engineering, is Espanola by near Florida Air.
Mm-hmm.
So that one being done now. So I think we're up to 18 or 19 baffle boxes now. And
that's a lot.
Yeah, and they remove the nitrogen and phosphorus. If you ever seen them, they're pretty cool, because they're big chambers. You open them up, you can suck all the garbage. It's like after one rainstorm, I mean, it's like a dump truck full of garbage.
Wow.
And so it's pretty impressive and to see that. But
they're doing their job.
Yeah. And then there's little things. If you look at all the... You know, after hurricanes, I remember responding to, you know, power being off for a couple of days. And that's because of the lights, and the traffic lights being, you know, on cables. And they'd sling and they'd hit the ground. And, you know, you'd have to order 40 of them and trying to get those. Now, if you notice, they're all on mastheads. They're solid now. You got good turn lanes. You got pedestrian safety. You know, when you go to an intersection, you hit a button. I mean, you see all these upgrades. I see them. I don't know if a lot of people see them, but... We're upgrading the crap out of stuff. I mean, just in the last meeting, we had, I think, three of our parks getting all new kid playgrounds. So, I mean, we got a lot coming to them. I mean, we're investing, you know, millions and millions of dollars into parks and rec, into baseball fields. I mean, we're really getting things done. It just takes time, and sometimes we're at the mercy of independent contractors. Where, you know, when you have to go through the bid process, you know, you just can't go out and hire somebody. It takes time. And, you know, I think the biggest thing, if you were to ask me, is learning as mayor and learning about government, is the process you have to go through. Everything has to be, you know, because people will, you know, cry foul because they didn't get a job or they didn't get the bid. So everything, you work through the city attorney's office and just trying to make sure. And then you got to make sure all the records are available to the public. You know, I'm big on public records, where if, you know, our residents, our citizens, or anybody has a right to public records, they have a right to, you know, emails or whatever, and that should be made available, because there should be open government. I mean, that I believe in
transparency. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So... But no, other than that, there, you know, we're looking at. I know next weekend, you know, it's going to be downtown Melbourne. It's going to be the Food and Wine Festival. Got to mention that. You know, that's a great event.
I'm glad you did, because I had Kim in the studio today.
Did you?
For our Space Coast Eats episode,
did she mention it?
All we talked about was Food and Wine Fest. It was a Food and Wine Fest deep dive. So tune into Space Coast Eats. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram. And yeah, everything you need to know. I mean, we did a virtual tour with Google Earth.
Yeah.
Because now it's going from right there on New Haven.
Right.
And we're taking it to Melbourne Ave along the promenade, right along the water. Two stages, yeah. Many bands on each stage.
Yeah.
15 breweries in the beer garden, tons of vendors, over 30 something restaurants, and it's gonna be lit. It's gonna be fun. And it's Veterans Day, so there's gonna be a couple of nice tributes to our veterans incorporated within the event.
Good.
You know, the cost is still they've kept it at $100, and it's like all you could eat.
No, you can eat, all you can drink, and it's a great, you know, and what you're doing also is that money goes to support downtown Melbourne, and it goes to support you know, what they do down there, and we're really making some great changes. If you look at downtown Melbourne, just within the next year, we're starting the engineering, all new streetscaping, all new drainage. You're going to have actually what some of the recommendations have come back is on one side, you have a space for outside eateries. It's going to be a really the face of downtown is going to change. It's going to look good.
Yeah, we had an episode where I believe it was you, Kim, and maybe Aaron, but you guys went through all this fun streetscape stuff. I mean, that's a great episode. I would look that up. And you got acknowledged when you guys were up in Ocala.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
For
well,
one of the
well, actually, what it was is I got elected official of the year for the state of Florida.
That's awesome.
For Florida Main Streets, out of all the main streets in Florida, they chose me as a mayor of the year.
That's amazing.
And really, it was our Secretary of State gave me the award, which was really nice. And there was award our downtown for their branding, but you know, it was a big honor. But I hope I don't sound negative here. I'm not really into awards because really it's the people around me that
you're a modest guy.
I know, but well, I mean, it's the people around me. You know, if you put good people around you and you let them do their damn job and you don't nickel and dime, you don't micromanage, and you just say, hey, let's work together. And if anybody knows, you know me, Jesse, I asked your opinion on a lot of stuff I do. And I'll say, Jesse, what do you think about this idea? Because I don't have all the ideas, but... and I don't have all the answers, but what I do, I will listen. And you know, when you make a decision, it should be best for the community. So, you know, it was nice to get that award, but you know, it, where do you go from there? I don't know. You know.
So Food and Wine Fest. So mind you, that those couple days before and after, those streets will be shut down. So please find alternative routes. And one of the themes for Food and Wine Fest, because there is so much whiskey, so much liquor being poured, so much wine being poured, the beer garden with 15 breweries, rideshare, use your Lyft, use your Ubers, stay at Hotel Melby. Just you know parking is always going to be something to be talked about, but you know, just avoid driving.
We got the free parking garage. You know what I've actually done, and I'll say it right here, but it, like, a lot of times what I'll do is if I go somewhere, and let's say, you know, I'll park at City Hall, and if I get an Uber or something, I don't mind at all, or I'll get a ride or something.
Right.
I'll actually get my bike, because I ride bikes on the weekend. I ride 12, about John Ditmore and I, we ride like 10, 12 miles on Saturday, normally, and Sunday.
Yeah.
And I'll grab my bike, my mountain bike, and I'll ride it to my car, take the front wheel off, put it in the trunk, and drive home. Yeah. I love that.
That's
ride.
Easy.
I get up in the morning, and we go over the causeway. We go everywhere, and really love riding a bike. Great on the knees. Just getting out in the fresh air and stuff.
Yeah, it's much more low impact than a run.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
And, of course, you know, mountain biking, I mean, you got trails in Wickham Park. I mean, there's all kinds of, like...
Well, we're trying to take over Wickham Park.
Oh.
As a
city.
Yes.
Oh, is that was that breaking news?
Yes, actually it is. And you know what? Yeah, and we're researching that. We think that, you know, because it's a county park, they gave one of the parks to Palm Bay. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to take, you know, I'm not saying we'll get it, but we're going to, our Parks and Rec director, we've discussed this, and we would love to take it. We think we can do a little more with Wickham Park, make it more family friendly. And it's in the heart of Melbourne. I mean, and it's something
it
that
is.
I think they want to get out of that. And if we can broker a deal, I wouldn't mind taking Wickham Park.
Alicia says that free parking garage is scary. Kids are drifting their cars from the third level up.
Yeah, and
is that a thing?
We actually have. We've been having undercover police in there. We have the security guard now.
Okay.
We are addressing that. I promise you, we are addressing that. And
curious.
So I'm going to be honest with you, Alicia. If you get a ticket for doing that, it's your fault, not mine. I'm messing with you, but no, seriously, we're working on it.
Yeah, I never heard of kids drifting and parking the garage. I guess that's a thing now.
Well, it was a thing for a little bit. They would go on the top floor and take like selfies, and they do all these videos and stuff. But yeah, we that's one of the reasons we put in. Actually, we just put in cameras.
Okay.
And we're going to start looking at the license plates and making phone calls. Yep. Oh yeah, we just got all those cameras in there. Just wait till your
can't
police.
Hide.
Just wait till the police department calls you on your cell phone and say, "Hey, your car was seen doing this, you know, would you like to?"
Or your parents get a knock at the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, back in the day, this shows my age, we used to just bomb parking garages, you know, with our skateboards, but
yeah.
I guess now it's taken over by cars. Get on a skateboard. Go bomb a hill.
Yeah.
Go have some fun.
Yeah, but we'll see how that works out. That's the camera program that we have for the parking garage in downtown Melbourne, because we definitely want to, and that will be able to be monitored at the new police department. So they'll be able to pull up any camera and you know, and actually with some of the new recognition software that they got.
It's scary.
Yeah, it's scary. Well, you know what? We'll be able to find somebody. And what's wild is they'll be able to find, with the tag readers and stuff, they'll be able to find if somebody goes through a light, they'll be able to see where the car was or is. Yeah. Yeah, it's changing.
That's some real surveillance stuff right there, big brother. Yeah, but listen, we gotta keep our community safe. And if that's letting a habitual, offender.
But it's not. But you know, and I look at it this way. It was you know, it was funny because I'll tell the story. But the other day I got a phone call, and you know, I'm running for re-election, and I don't even have a website up. I'm worried about my job right now. At the end of the day, I'm not worried. You know, I work hard at this job and you don't make any money, but I had a phone call and a guy said, "Hey, I don't even know who it was, come out of Orlando." Said, "Hey, Mayor, I'd like to give you a political donation." I'm like, "Okay, first off, I'm not even really taking political donations right now." And I'm like, "Well, who's this?" "Well, I'm with the red light camera company." And I'm like, "You know what? Number one, no, and number two, no."
Yeah.
Because first off, I don't play that. I don't have time for that to go, "Hey,
lobbyists."
Yeah, and it's probably a lobbyist. And I'm like, "No, not interested." And I even sent him a text, "Thank you, but I'm not even interested in this." Because number one, red light cameras, I don't believe that an independent third party should come in and dictate whether you get a traffic ticket. And let's say it's iffy. You go through the red light and, you know, it's iffy and you get a ticket and just through the mail. And that, to me, I don't agree with that. I don't like that. Now, if you get caught by a police officer, that's on your own. I mean, you deserve to get that ticket. But, you know, I don't think a third party. I mean, there should be evidence right there. So, but you know, the cameras to keep people safe. I mean, let's say you have a child that has a car that's missing. I mean, in a situation like that, you want to be able to find where that car is. If you have a senior parent, somebody, you know, you have to find somebody, or a stolen vehicle. You know, there are. Time when that kind of technology is needed.
100%.
Yeah.
But certainly, if there's a big semi on your rear end and it's been yellow for a minute, and you know he's not slowing down, I'm probably gonna risk not getting rear-ended by a big truck.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'll just hope and pray that
I enforce the traffic laws as a police officer, it was all situational.
Right.
You know, if someone went through and it was very iffy and they had a good excuse, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
I mean, you have to not only be, you know, you have to be defensive driving. And so that's something that, you know, if you see somebody speed up and they fly through, that's different. That's an easy one.
Right.
But question, Mayor, any questions to relieve traffic congestion on Wickham Road north of Post? Yes. One of the things that we've been working on is that we did not have is the syncing of traffic lights. You know, that's something that hadn't been done. I know they're in that process. I don't know exactly where they are, but, you know, you go to one light, it's red. You know, you go to go speed up, it turns red. And next thing you know, it's almost like gridlock. Those traffic lights need to be timed to a point where they allow traffic flow, and that's what we're doing. Again, I can probably see where we are and talk to our city staff on that and kind of give you an update on that. But absolutely, because that's something that traffic lights, they can be the death of you. I mean, you've been to places where you feel like you went 12 blocks and stopped 12 times. I mean, that shouldn't work like that.
Yeah, and I think to have that engineered so that when there's, you know, different times a day, like the lights shouldn't be synced so that it's the same clock, you know, the same kind of clocking, you know, for 8 a.m. during rush hour as it is as like 3 a.m. when there's almost nobody on the road, you know. So it really should be timed in a way that agrees with the patterns of traffic too.
And it's all situational. It's different than in the morning than it is at night.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, there's nothing worse than coming up to a main light and nobody's around, it's dark, and you're at a red light. It's like, I'm on Wickham. Why do I have a red light, you know? But no, like I said, that's something that's being done because the timing of the lights is very important. That's one of the biggest. Yep, swear I hit every red light. Yep, I feel like that sometimes too.
We've all been there.
Yeah, all been that. So, but yeah, a lot of good things are happening, Jesse. You know, again, we got next week the Downtown Food and Wine Festival. If you can make it, go. I will tell you right now, it's a great event.
Still a few tickets remain, so definitely get them while they're still, like, available.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, every year it's sold out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is a sellout event. And, the amount of talent, there's artist installations, there's going to be the dancers, there's going to be a couple of fun surprises. But between the bands that they have lined up, all these great... I mean, there's so many good food there.
Yeah.
You know, Shaquan's is returning. They've been like, you know, they pretty much win it every year just about. But
Clean Chicken. That's where I was today. Clean Chicken, baby.
There's some new. Yeah, there's some new entries. We have Alibi. There's Bombay Saigon. There's a couple of new entries in there. And then there's the old staples that are just always there, like Crush 11, Ember and Oak with their Aha. Trust me, you don't want to miss it.
You don't want to miss it,
no.
Exactly. And again, it's the benefit downtown Melbourne, the redevelopment. So, and you know, downtown O'Galley, we're working on that. Be announcing real soon. You know, with that parking garage going up, and we pretty much about got the deal done. A hotel.
Good.
I know the brand. I know all that. I cannot release it because
you signed an NDA.
Yes, I did. Well, yeah. I mean, it's a go.
That's awesome.
It's a go. And like I said, I'll probably maybe next time and I'll announce that. And it's actually different from the plan. That's got the pool on the third floor of overlooking. It's like got a convention center kind of.
Oh.
And the pool's on the roof. Yeah, it's pretty nice.
That new music venue, that's getting better and better on Guava, right across from Salty Fox and the Intracoastal. That's coming. They're doing the exterior now. That's going to be exciting once they finish that project. So many cool things happening. Thanks for keeping us updated, Mayor.
All right. Well, thank you, Jesse. Appreciate what you do. And if, you know, with Space Coast Podcast, you're the expert. And I appreciate you allowing me to put out the information to our residents.
Hey, it's a service, right? We're all at service here, making our city the best it can be, right?
Oh, and actually, I want to address one question. Somebody said, what are we doing about the failed water testing? We just actually put out a bulletin. It was basically it's we had to by federal regulations. What it was we got the test, but I guess one of the tests, my city manager, I think she said one of the tests was the outdated. It was an old test kit or something. So it wasn't bad. Nothing was out of place. It was just a test kit, so we had to report it that way. I assure you the water is safe. But at any time there's anything that doesn't match up, we have to put that out. So it wasn't really that the water was bad, nothing like that. Matter of fact, knock on wood, I'm going to knock on it right now.
Yep.
We haven't had any kind of major blooms or anything. If you notice, the water's starting to cool down, which is great. So we really, you know, hopefully it'll keep cooling down and we, you know.
Because we had some very warm days this summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there wasn't, you know, that wasn't, when, matter of fact, when we got the call, and I got the call about that, and I'm like, that it was just a test kit, but all that stuff is regulated. The test kits have to be, you know, produced it, or, you know, it's got to have a big chain of custody. And there was something very minor, and but we have to let the residents know. I mean, you know, whether it's good news or bad news. Was it bad news? No, not necessarily bad news. Was there an issue with water? No, but that was something that we did have to report. And we reported to everybody, and I'm answering the question now. Believe me, I remember we had that water issue, you know, a few years ago, and I called for a special meeting before I became mayor, because one of the things I wanted to make sure is our water is clean, our water is safe to drink. As a matter of fact, we were down in South Florida when I said we just went away for a couple of days, and we stopped somewhere, and you know, they had water from a restaurant, and it was terrible. It was terrible. I mean, you know, I'm like, did you put lemon in this? Oh no, it's like lime. But you know, we don't have that problem in Melbourne, and we're moving to more injection wells, so the water comes from the aquifer and not from St. John's.
Awesome. Well, thank you all for participating.
Yeah,
thank you very much for the questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of engagement tonight. Go ahead and make sure you share the episode. Let everybody in your friends list, you know, understand what's going on, because, you know, knowledge is power. And when everybody can, you know, communicate and everybody knows what's going on, there's less questions, there's less case of rumors, and you know, well, you know how those things go, right?
And I appreciate everybody out there letting me serve as your mayor, and the fact that I always be transparent and get the information out to you. And like I said, we're all in this community together, so thank you, everyone.
Have a good night.